And we confess you, that you are the Lord. Amen. We bless your name, O Lord. And we confess you, that you are the Lord. We bless your name, O Lord. And we confess you, that you are the Lord. Father Almighty, we bless your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us since the last time we had a convention. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you for your church. Thank you that your church is marching on and the gates of hell had not been able to prevail against your church. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for preservation. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for a glorious tomorrow. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, even at the beginning of the convention 2020, with the theme, Wonderful, we commit into your hands your workers and house fellowship leaders in particular. Father, we pray that like never before during this convention, you will visit your children. Amen. You will anoint them. Amen. And you will meet all the desires of their hearts. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that this will be the greatest convention we have ever had thus far in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my Father, my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to welcome all workers in your various homes and all the house fellowship leaders. I rejoice with you that in spite of every plan of the enemy, we are yet able to reach out to you and have a very, very wonderful convention. Can you imagine that the Almighty God chose the theme Wonderful for this convention, even at a time when we had no idea how it's going to be. And now we have a convention that is truly a world convention, because all our brothers and sisters across the world are part and parcel of what's going on now. So you are all welcome to Convention 2020. Now, I'm talking especially to you workers and house fellowship leaders, and of course, anyone who wants to join in among our congregation, they are welcome, because after all, one day or the other, they will become workers. As a matter of fact, I'm believing God that after this year's convention, many, many, if not all of you, will become house fellowship leaders. Why? Because this crisis has done something clearly to everybody, that the house fellowship is very, very crucial to us in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. When we started having house fellowships, some people didn't take the matter serious. But now you can see what had happened. When the church or the churches are locked down, nobody can lock down the house fellowship. If we can't go to church, now we can meet in our homes. And so you can see God is always a step ahead of the enemy. And so we must do something now much more seriously than ever before about our house fellowship. As a matter of fact, very soon we'll probably just change the name to the church in your house. Because one day, when the history of Christianity is written, they will be referring to the church in your house. So I'm believing God for every one of you listening to me that you will open, after this convention, you will open up your house for a church in your house. You see, because today now we read in the Bible, the church in the house of Priscilla and Aquila, Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. Romans 16, 3 to 5. We read of the church in the house of Nymphas. We would never have heard his name, but for the church in his house. Colossians chapter 4, verse 15. Colossians 4, 15. Salute the church in the house of Nymphas. In Philemon, the only chapter, from verse 1 to 2, Philemon, verse 1 to 2, Paul said, salute the church in your house, in the house of Philemon. Salute the church in the house of Apphia. Salute the church in the house of Archippus. I am praying that whenever God is writing the history of the church in the new generation, he will talk about the church in your house. This lockdown, for example, has brought about a church in my house. And me and my children will gather together and we will worship on Sunday, watch the transmission from door, and when we finish, we gather together and eat. And we were discussing what name to call the church. And one of them said we should call it Arise and Shine. I said, that's good, but considering the way you eat after the service, maybe we should call it Arise and Eat. And as usual, when they were asking me to give them a Bible passage to support that name, I said, well, 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 4 to 8. 1 Kings 19, 4 to 8, when Elijah was tired and he was sleeping and was asking God to come and kill him, an angel came and woke him up and said, arise and eat. But then I added, so read that, wait a minute, after he ate twice, he fasted for 40 days. I said, maybe we should call it Arise and Fast. There should be a church in your house. Our goal should be in every street, there should be somebody who open up his house and we have a church there. Many of our churches abroad started from what we were calling house fellowship. When we started the church in London, there were only five of us, 5 members. And every one of us had big titles. I was the general overseer. There was a pastor in charge. There was someone who became suddenly Sunday school superintendent. There was someone who became, choir master or choir mistress. Everybody had a title. When we were going to start the church in America, after I have talked to all those who left Nigeria for America, start a branch of the church, and they kept on saying, oh, we are already attending a Pentecostal church here. I said, okay. One day I visited my cousin, Pastor Fadel. He wasn't a pastor then. I said to him, sir, you are my cousin. We are starting a church in your house today. If you don't move quickly, I will deal with you. I know this is a land of law. When I finish dealing with you, you report me to the police. The police will deal with me, but then I'll be waiting for you in Nigeria. To cut a long story short, that's how we started. We started a church in one of his rooms. And today, by the grace of God, we have close to 1,000 churches in America. You never can tell what God will make of what we start in your house. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Make up your mind now that you will open a church in your house. Now, why should I? I'm just going to encourage you for about 10 minutes, and then we'll pray. We learn from the scriptures that when Jesus is passing by, if Jesus is just passing by, he distributes miracles. Mark chapter 5, from verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, he was passing by, the woman with the issue of blood came from behind and got a miracle. Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. Mark 10, 46 to 52. Jesus was passing by. Bartimaeus got his miracle. John chapter 9 from verse 1 to 7. John 9 from verse 1 to 7. Jesus was passing by, saw another blind man. Before, you know what's happening, he has given him brand new eyes. So when Jesus is passing by, he distributes miracles. What happens when he's visiting? Just one example is enough. Genesis chapter 18 from verse 1 to 14. Genesis 18, 1 to 14. He visited Abraham. And all the promises of several years became fulfilled in one day. Because prophecies became a decree. He had been saying, this is what will happen to you. But on the day he visited, he said, now we are not waiting. 9 months from now, the baby will come. So when he's visiting, the irreversible becomes reversed. Can you then imagine what will happen when it's not just passing by, it's not just visiting, but he has come to dwell? If he comes to dwell in your house, if he comes to reside in your house, if your house becomes a house church, several things will happen. Take the example in 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 8 to 24. 1 Kings 17 from verse 8 to 24. When Elijah dwelt in the house of the widow of Zarephath, no lack was allowed in that house. Every day, the woman who had the last meal suddenly discovered that every day there was food. By the time they were going to bed in the night, maybe the food had gone down a little. By the following morning, the pot is full again. If your house becomes a house church, God will make sure there won't be lack in that house ever again. Number two, when Elijah was dwelling with the widow of Zarephath, there was great famine in the land. People were dying. But in the house of the widow of Zarephath, they didn't even know what was going on outside. When your house becomes a dwelling place for God, it doesn't matter what is happening outside. It won't come near your house. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 10. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 10 made it clear. Thousands may fall by the right side. 10,000 may fall by the left. He said, it won't even come near you. You'll just be observing what's going on. I mean, look at this plague, for example. I want to give the Almighty God glory for his faithfulness to the redeemed Christian Church of God. I'm not saying we are better than other churches. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying I'm grateful to him for the way he has kept us all over the world. All over the world. So it is possible for danger to be outside and not come near your home. Number three, when the man of God was dwelling with the widow of Zarephath, even death came in, but it was chased out. Death came in to take away the only son of the woman, but hey, because the representative of the resurrection and the life was dwelling in the house, death was compelled to vomit what it has swallowed. I want to prophesy to those of you who will open your homes and turn them to house churches. In the name that's above every other name, there be no lack for you. Whatever evil may be going outside will not come near your house. And if there's anything that death has already swallowed, death will vomit. And then, of course, you know the very popular passage that you know we've discussed again and again. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 12. 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 12, where the house of Obed-Edom became a house church by force. The man wasn't even expecting it, but the Almighty God moved on his behalf. And they took the Ark of the Covenant of God and placed it in his house. And you know what happened? Immediately God began to bless him. The Bible said, within 3 months, this man had overrunning blessing. And you know, my God, Psalm 23 verse 5. Psalm 23 verse 5. He said, thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runs over. Not only was he blessed immensely, that's number one. Number two, the blessing became so big it could not be hidden. The whole nation heard about it. And you know, just like the promise God made in Malachi chapter 3, from verse 10 to 12, Malachi 3, 10 to 12. When he says, if you bring all the tithes into his house, he will open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing that there won't be enough room to receive. He said in verse 12 there, he said, all nations shall call you blessed. A blessing that is so much that the nation will be talking about it. That's the kind of blessings that will come to the house that have been opened up to God to have as a house church. Not only was it that Obed-Edom was immensely blessed, and the blessing was unhidden, this man became a national envy. God was blessing him. People noticed that this man was being blessed tremendously. They refused to keep quiet. They went and told David, hey, that man that you took the Ark of the Covenant to his house, you better come and see what's happening there. It was out of envy. You know, in Genesis 26 from verse 12 to 14, Genesis 26 from verse 12 to 14, the Bible said, when God blessed Isaac, the Philistines envied him. I've said it before. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life. People will talk about you. If you're a failure, they will talk about you. They will say, where's your God? You are poor, they will talk about your God. And they will ask you, have you entered into a covenant of poverty? And then when God prospers you mightily, they will talk. They're going to talk anyway. Why don't we say, okay, God, let them talk about me for being very successful, for having overflowing blessings. Let them talk about me for good. And that can happen if you open your house to God for a house church. And you know what? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Revelation 3 verse 20. The Almighty God says he's already at your door. Knocking. Knocking. He's been waiting for you to hear this message, to take a decision straight away and say, okay, I didn't know that's it. I will open my house that it may become a dwelling place for the Most High God, so that by next year's convention, my testimony will be, God has blessed me so mightily. At least everybody around my street, they are already beginning to envy me. I'll tell you just one more testimony, and then you will pray. I don't want to talk about the one in Nigeria so as not to embarrass some people. But in one nation of the world, there was a mighty flood that covered all the streets. I mean, water reaching beyond window level. And there was a particular street. Every house was flooded. But there was this house in the middle of the street. The river was flowing from left to right. It reached, let's call this house number 12. It flooded house 1, 2, 3, 11. And then jumped to house 13, 14, 15, and all the way. True story. So as a matter of fact, I'm sure the fellow concerned is listening to me now, and is likely to phone some of you, his friends, and say, Daddy was talking about me. The flood left his house. And so the people in the streets were wondering, what is peculiar about this? And they saw a sign. House Fellowship of Redeemed Christian Church of God meets here. Bow your head in prayer. Half a word is enough for the wise. I'm going to pray for you, and then you are going to cry unto God. My Father and my God, I'm going to commit your children into your hands once again. Please, Lord, as many of them that are already house fellowship leader, promote them. As many of them as are yet to open their doors to you to come in and turn their houses to churches, Lord God Almighty, as they open the door, let your blessings begin to flow in. Amen. Keep death away from their homes. Amen. Keep sickness away from their homes. Amen. Keep any form of evil far away from them. Amen. Oh, Lord God Almighty, let them become the envy of everybody around them. Amen. Very soon, let me begin to hear some mighty testimonies concerning these, your children. Even as I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Now I want you to spend quality time talking to the Almighty God. And say, Father, you are welcome into my home. Everything I have is yours. Without you, I am nothing. Come into my home. Come and dwell here. Come and make this place your abode. Let your church be established in my home. Please do it for me, Lord. You are welcome. I will open my door now. As soon as I do it, come and dwell. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, I'm not stopping you. I'm just excusing myself because I have to move on. But you can then continue your prayers. Consider everything you have heard. If Jesus is passing by, miracles. If he's visiting, the irreversible becomes reversed. If he stays, you know all the things that we have said. Consider this, and if you have to contact your pastors very, very quickly, do so and say, Sir, my house is ready. Let's start a house church here. God bless you.